Amen. What time is it in the kingdom of God? That's the question for today. There's a little passage of scripture I'll mention here in just a couple of moments. But let me begin by just saying this. The church is really the only organization in the world that exists primarily for its non-members. That's kind of an odd way to put it, but it's really true. We shouldn't just exist for ourselves. We should exist for other people. So the task that we have as Christians is to reach out into the world that we live in and to declare the kingdom of God. Remember what Jesus prayed when he gave us his model prayer? He said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So we're not here just to build an institution. We are here to change the world. We are to be ambassadors for Christ. We are to be his ambassadors. We are to spread the good news. And when we think about the good news, we think about joyful, happy blessings. We think about all the best things of life. And there is a lot of good news. Now, there's a lot of doom and gloom in the world today, too. We know that. We know that church attendance has declined in the United States. We see a lot of things going on that we don't like to see going on. But there's some good news, too. We should not be put down by some of the doom and gloom. I listen to some preachers from time to time on the radio, and there's a lot of doom and gloom. Things are getting worse. Things are getting worse. But let me tell you, there's a lot of good news, too. Did you know that in South America, about 10,000 people come to Christ every single day? That's good news, isn't it? Did you know that in Africa, the whole continent of Africa, of course, it's a big place from south to north, east to west, but about 20,000 people come to Christ every day on the continent of Africa. Statistics are hard to come by, but in the People's Republic of China, communist nation where churches are illegal, and there are a few that they tolerate, but most of them are underground, it's estimated that thousands of people are coming to Christ on a daily basis even there. A few years ago, Karen and I had the responsibility of taking 17 high school kids to Ghana in West Africa. When we got there, we were shocked at what a strong Christian nation Ghana is, especially southern Ghana, around the capital of Accra. But while we were there, we found out that these Christians in Ghana are reaching Muslims in northern Ghana, coming down from North Africa, the Sahara Desert area. They're reaching a lot of those people for Jesus Christ. Christian organization that Greenwood Christian supported for many years and still does is called TCM, Taking Christ to Millions. They have colleges and teachers. They train teachers and preachers over in Eastern Europe, and they've graduated over 500. They come for 2 or 3 weeks in the spring, 2 or 3 weeks in the fall. And did you know that over 100 of those young men that have trained for the ministry, over 100 of those guys are former Muslims? It's pretty exciting. There's some neat things going on in the world today. So get rid of the doom and gloom part of it and rejoice with the good news of what the gospel is doing. And so if anybody asks you what time it is in the kingdom of heaven, I've got an answer for you. You just say, it's party time. It's party time. You know, what is the kingdom of God like? Well, it's like a party. The kingdom of God is several things. The kingdom of God is the church. We are a part of the kingdom of God. If Jesus is your king, and you say, yes, and he's my king. If Jesus is your king and you're his subject, we're in the kingdom of God. We know the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the ultimate kingdom of God is ahead, don't we? That's ahead for us. I like the text in I believe it's Matthew 17, could be Luke 17. I forgot exactly the scripture verse, but Jesus was saying, the kingdom is not something you see. The kingdom of God, he said, is within you. So it's in our hearts, it's in our minds. The kingdom of God is within you. So part of it is an attitude. Part of it is your faith. Part of it is what you believe. So what's the kingdom of God like? Well, it's like a Jewish wedding feast. Have any of you ever been to a Jewish wedding feast? I haven't, but I've seen some pictures of them. Even in the Fiddler on the Roof play and movie, you see that celebration going on. Those people know how to celebrate. You know, when Jesus performed his first miracle, what did he do? He changed water into wine at a wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. It was his very first miracle. And he didn't just make a little wine. He made probably somewhere between 130 and 140 gallons of wine. And this wasn't the first wine they'd had. They'd run out of the good stuff right to begin with. But what he made was even better than what the original host of the feast had provided. So they knew how to party. These people all around the Mediterranean know how to party, don't they? Whether it's the Greeks, the Italians, the Turks, these people, they know how to party. The Arabs know how to party. We had some good friends that were of Arab descent. They were Lebanese out in Oklahoma, and those people knew how to celebrate. They didn't just celebrate Easter on Easter Sunday. That whole week was a big celebration. They had different food. They had gatherings of family. They cooked. They had some of the best food you ever tasted in your life. Baklava, it'll just send your blood sugar straight through the ceiling. But man, is that good. But those people enjoyed life. They just had a wonderful, wonderful time. Tony Campalo is an apologist professor at Eastern Christian College or Eastern College in Pennsylvania. And he's Italian, obviously. And he was always bragging about being an Italian. Somebody said, well, if it's so great being an Italian, how come Jesus wasn't born as an Italian? And he said, well, he had to humble himself. He had to humble himself. But the people around the Mediterranean, they know how to party. In fact, one of the things Campalo said is, he said, the only difference between an Italian wedding and an Italian funeral is there's one less person at the funeral. I mean, these people know how to celebrate all around the Mediterranean. Well, what did Jesus say? Well, in our text today, Jesus said, and this is, what the kingdom of God is like, Matthew 22, 1 and 2. He said it's like a man who had a wedding or had a wedding feast. I've got it here right here in my Bible someplace if I can find it. He said it's like a wedding feast, Matthew 22. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. That's what the kingdom of God is like. It's like a wedding banquet. Remember his first miracle was where? At a wedding feast. How much wine did they have? Over 100 gallons of wine. They knew how to celebrate. And there's other examples, of course, of celebration, wedding celebrations, happy celebrations in the scriptures. One of my favorites is Zacchaeus. You know the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, the scripture says, was short of stature. And I learned this in vacation Bible school. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed his way, he looked up in the tree. And he said, Zacchaeus, come down from there. I'm going to your house today. And they had a party. Zacchaeus was a little guy. I will always view him as Danny DeVito. He had to look exactly like Danny DeVito. I'll be disappointed if I get to heaven and he didn't look exactly like Danny DeVito. But what happened? Well, Zacchaeus was hated. He was a tax collector for the Romans. Now, he wasn't a Roman. He was Jewish. So he had betrayed his own people. This guy, everybody in town hated Zacchaeus. But when Zacchaeus was up in that little tree and Jesus was passing through Jericho, he said, come down from there, you dirty, rotten, filthy, low-down, good-for-nothing sinner. No, he didn't say that, did he? He said, come on down, man. We're going to go to your house and we're going to celebrate. We're going to have a party. We're going to rejoice. And they did. And Zacchaeus repented of his sins, of his misgivings, and he became a follower of Jesus Christ. So if somebody asks you, what time is it in the kingdom of God, you say, it's party time. All right, it's party time. My favorite illustration, though, of this is the story of the prodigal son. We have this story in Luke chapter 15. This younger brother of the two said to his dad, Dad, I don't want to wait till you kick the bucket. This is in the original Greek. You have to kind of read there. He said, I don't want to wait till you die. He said, I want half of the estate. I want half of your wealth right now, and I'm heading out of here. I'm going to move. I'm going to leave town. I'm going to go off and do my thing. And that's exactly what he did. And he got into the far country, it says, and he began to live it up. He started hanging out at the Oasis Club. He bought a fast camel. He started dating the belly dancers. I mean, he started living it up. It says he wasted his substance. He devoured his wealth with prostitutes. And the famine came, and he became a beggar. He's feeding pigs. And you know what the Jewish people were taught about eating pork. He's feeding the pigs, and he's starving to death. But he comes to himself, and he goes home. And all the way home, he's got a speech in his mind. He's saying, he knows he's got to come clean. So he has these lines. He's rehearsing them. Father, I've sinned against you and against heaven. And I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Just make me as one of your hired servants. I got to go over this again. Father, you better rehearse your lines if you've blown half of your father's estate. Father, I've sinned against you and against heaven. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Just make me as one of your hired servants. He just keeps saying that. His father sees him a long way off and rushes toward him and hugs him and welcomes him home. And I'll give the boy credit. He starts to make his speech. He says, Father, I've sinned against you and against heaven. The father says, wait just a second, son. And he says to one of his servants, go get a new robe. My son left here in robes, and he's come home in rags. Go get a robe and bring it for him. And the son starts again, I've sinned against you. Wait just a second, son. And bring some shoes. Would you bring some shoes? He's come home without any shoes. He's in a bad way. Get some shoes. Son tries again, I've sinned against you. Wait just a second. And bring a ring. A ring is the sign of sonship. And bring a new ring for his finger. He left with that beautiful ring, and he comes home, and there's no ring, no jewelry on his hand. And the son tries again. I'm no more worthy. Wait just a second, son. Would you be still? Quit interrupting me. And you see that big lamb out there beside the barn? Kill that sucker. We're going to have a party. And that's exactly what they did. This son had come home in rags. He had come home sorry for his sin. And he was forgiven. And what'd they do? They celebrated. The older son, the older brother, is out in the field, and he hears the music and the dancing, and he asks one of the other servants what's going on, and he says, well, this brother of yours has come home, and your father's celebrating. Well, he starts pouting. Well, my father never celebrated for me. Now, I never got anything. Here, this son of his, you know, wasted his substance with the sinful folks in the far country, and he comes home, and he gets a party. I don't get anything. And he broods and everything, and we need to ask ourselves sometimes, are we like the father who welcomes home the sinner, or are we like the older brother who's jealous and who pouts and who cannot find it in his heart, in his mind, to celebrate? So here's another great story. If anybody asks you what time it is in the kingdom of heaven, what do you say? It's party time. It's party time. It's time to celebrate. And that's what we should be doing. We should be celebrating as Christians. We ought to be the happiest, smiling, joyful, fun-loving people everywhere we go. We should be celebrating our faith. We should be praising the Lord. We should be loving one another. We should be caring for each other. So how does all this happen? How does this party, put it that way, how does this party in God's kingdom come to you? Well, strange as it may seem, it comes, I think, in some very unusual ways. It comes, first of all, I believe, in quietness. It comes in a peaceful stillness. It comes in stillness and prayer. My prayer life's changed in recent years, and for the better. I used to go to God with kind of a list of non-negotiables, and had this long list. Our son James is here today, and I'll tell a story on him. When he was a little kid, we were getting ready for bed one night, and he said, "I'm going to bed, I'm going upstairs, and I'm going to bed. I'm going to pray. Does anybody need anything?" And that's kind of the way I approach prayer. And I still pray for people on the list. I've got a long list. I walk every morning, and I pray, and I've got a long list. I pray for Marissa Hendrickson. I pray for the Coopers. I've been praying for the Cooks and the loss of Herb, for their comfort. I've got a long list, and bless you, dear. And I pray for a lot of people on that list, and that's okay. But I think sometimes we just need to invite Christ into our heart and feel His presence and His kingdom in us. Sometimes, even in the middle of the night, if I'm awake and I can't sleep, I pray a little bit. And sometimes my mind drifts. Anybody have your mind ever drift when you're trying to pray? Mine does. Sometimes I just have to say Jesus. I just have to speak His name. Say Jesus. Jesus. And to me, that opens the heart and the mind to the kingdom of God. I think the kingdom of God comes to us sometimes when we are still, when we are quiet, when we are just thinking about Jesus. It comes in the context, I believe, of silence and stillness and prayer. What comes? The kingdom of God. What time is it in the kingdom? It's party time. Time to rejoice. Time to celebrate. Time to bask in His love, His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness. That's exactly what we need to do. It's just to bask in Him. So it comes in that context. But there's another thing. It comes from what Jesus did on the cross. It comes from what He did on the cross. Well, what did He do on the cross? He died 2,000 years ago is an historical reality. People that were not Christians, people that didn't really believe in the Bible or God or anything else, historically have verified the fact that there was a crucifixion, that Jesus did die on the cross. That's a done deal. He took care of the punishment for our sins. That's a good reason to party, isn't it? Yet He forgives us even now as we come to Him. The kingdom of God is a party in that we have this rejoicing that we can do. And it comes because even as He died for us on the cross, we have this instantaneous connection with what He did there for us. Every time we look at the cross when we are here on Sunday mornings, or when you see a cross on a building or around somebody's neck, that should remind you of the freedom that you have in Christ because your sins have been forgiven, because, you know, there is joy. You sing a little chorus. If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. Your sins He'll wash away. Your night He'll turn to day. Your life He'll make it over anew. If you want joy, real joy, not worldly joy, not superficial joy, but real joy, let Jesus come into your heart. So it comes from what He did for us on the cross. And then thirdly, it comes because God is always in the present tense. He's always in the present tense. And you say, well, what do you mean? Well, time and space and light are all interesting subjects. I certainly don't have time to get into all the details of science in those things. Einstein's theory of relativity suggests that the faster we travel, the more time is compressed. And to use this illustration, if you were put in a rocket and you were sent out into space and you traveled at 170,000 miles per second, and you traveled for 10 years, when you came back in 10 years, you'd still just be 10 years older. Do you understand that, Shan? No, I don't understand that, Shan. But they also go on to say that if you traveled at the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles per second, if you came back from that 170,000 miles, the people here on Earth would be 20 years older. Now, I can't explain that. The speed of light, though, you can't do. You can't do the speed of light because your physical mass expands outward and your weight increases geometrically toward infinity. I say that, don't anybody say you're fat, just say you're traveling fast, too fast. But if you could, listen, if you could travel at the speed of light, time would be compressed into one instantaneous now. And God's always in the present tense. Remember what Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. What did he say to Pharaoh? What did Moses say to Pharaoh when he asked who he was? He said, the great I am. God is always so in the present tense. Think about this. He sees you even now from the cross. In that context, Peter said, a day with the Lord's 1,000 years is a day. That means just 2 days ago, Jesus died on the cross. But Jesus, it's even closer than that. Jesus died for us on the cross. And I believe he sees us even now from the cross. He sees us and his love flows from him. He sees us and he's pouring out his blood to cover our sins, which are many. God's always in the present tense. So in a sense, as he is dying there on the cross, he's connecting with you, connecting with me, and he absorbs the sin in our lives. Now, Paul wrote to the Church of Rome, and he said, should we continue in sin that God may forbid? Absolutely not. That grace may abound. I'll get this out in a minute. Should we continue that grace may abound, continue to sin? No, God forbid. But the good news, and this is amazing good news, is that Jesus not only took the punishment for your sin, he took the sin itself for us on the cross. Jesus died on the cross, and all of our sins, if we believe in him and trust him, all of our sins have been forgiven and forgotten. You wouldn't want to go to heaven, would you, if he remembered? When I was a child, an evangelist came through my home church, and he said on Judgment Day, we'd stand before God and he'd pull down a movie screen and show every sin that we'd ever committed. And I thought, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. My mother will be there. And I didn't become a Christian because I was afraid of hell. I became a Christian, I was afraid of my mother. And here's the reason to party. When Jesus forgives, he forgets. Scripture says our sins are buried in the deepest sea. Scripture says he forgives as far as the east is from the west. And you know, that means something. He didn't say north from the south. You know, if you travel north, where do you go? You go to the North Pole, but then where are you going? If you keep going, you're going south. If you go to the South Pole and you keep going, you'll be going north. That's not true, east and west. If you start going east, you'll always go east. If you start going west, you'll always go west. So when it says he'll forgive your sins as far as the east is from the west, that really means something. I can't wait to get there. And the Bible says that he will present us faultless before his throne. He not only forgives, he forgets, he cleanses us faultless before the throne. I can hear him introducing me. This is my perfect one, Shan Rutherford. I hope Karen is there. I hope that she believes that. finally. That's what it says. That's what it says. He will present us faultless before His throne. Do we as Christians have reason to celebrate? Shake your hand, yes. What time is it in the kingdom of God? It's party time. It's party time. And I'll share the same text or part of the one that Scott shared just a few moments ago in his communion meditation. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has gone. All this is from God, who reconciled the world to Himself through Christ Jesus. And He gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to Himself through Christ, not counting men's sins against them. Got that? Not counting men's sins against them. But He made us ambassadors for Christ. He says, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be an ambassador. We implore you, be reconciled to God. And then that great verse says, He who knew no sin became sin for us, that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this reminder of how we ought to be happy celebrating, joy-filled Christians, even when things are not going well in our life or the world in which we live. But as Christians, we have a reason to celebrate. It's time to rejoice. It's time to celebrate. It's time to be people of great faith in what you have done for us and know that the best is still yet to come. Father, I pray if there's anybody here who's not believed, not trusted, not had faith in what you did for us on the cross, this would be a new day, a new beginning. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand as we sing this hymn of invitation and decision? Something beautiful. Somebody. We're closing in here on Palm Sunday and Easter, just a few weeks away now. Hope you invite someone to come. People are always open more than any other time to come on Easter. They think they'll blend into the crowd or something. I don't know. But anyway, I hope you'll take advantage of that. So thank you for being here. Again, keep those folks in your prayers that are on that list. How's Hannah doing now?
Just about the same. Not a whole lot of change. Still having a lot of difficulties and trouble. What we would call minor stuff compared to what she went through, though. Continue to pray for her. She's still not gaining weight. She's still trying to get acclimated to this diabetes. She'll be on blood thinner the rest of her life, and they're trying to control all of that. So if you would, just praying for that family, we would appreciate it. Thank you.
That's Hannah McAdams, their daughter-in-law. She had pancreatic cancer.
Had it.
and
Key word had.
That's good. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, Gary, say a final prayer for us, brother.
Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together again as a family. Thank you for being with all the people on our prayer list that need you more now than some of us. Thank you today for Shan's powerful and uplifting message. And thank you every day for Shan and Karen. And be with Karen. She needs it.
Amen.
So be with us all as we leave here today, and be with us and guide us through the upcoming week. And it's in your precious name we give thanks for all things. Amen.
Amen. Send the light. Let us not grow weary.
Send the light. Let us gather jewels from around above. Send the light. The blessed gospel lights, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore.